Each year you spend in custody will represent a substantial portion of your remaining life expectancy. While it is a matter of speculation as to how long you will live, the fact is that you are of advanced years and are entering the last phase of your life. I am conscious that the term of imprisonment, which I am about to impose upon you, carries with it a real, as distinct from theoretical, possibility that you may not live to be released from prison.
That's Victorian County Court Chief Judge Peter Kidd speaking directly to Cardinal George Pell today. He went on to sentence the Cardinal to 6 years in prison for the child sexual abuse of two choir boys in the 1990s, with a non-parole period of 3 years and 8 months. Cardinal Pell maintains his innocence and is appealing the conviction and the sentence. Four Corners reporter and author Louise Milligan was in the courtroom today and she joins me now. Louise, welcome.
Hi, Patricia.
This has been a major part of your life in recent years. Can you describe the atmosphere in and around the county court today?
It was quite extraordinary. You know, the air was heavy. You know, you could cut it with a knife. And everyone was very respectful and dignified, despite the fact that this was a highly emotionally charged subject. You know, there were lots of survivors in there. There were people who are defenders of George Pell. And, you know, there were family members of people involved in the case. But everyone just sort of sat there frozen while Chief Judge Peter Kidd just hammered out this sentence. I mean, he barely paused for breath. It just every now and then he would take a drink of water. But it was quite extraordinary. And I think, you know, it was just sad because no one's a winner out of this, you know. Two young boys had their lives ruined by this. And a cardinal, you know, a prince of the church, is going to jail. And that was the thing. It was sort of like he's just an ordinary man sitting in the dock now who's going to go to jail and is going to spend, you know, his 80th birthday in jail, for instance. And that's a terrible moment.
Chief Judge Kidd spoke plainly to George Pell, but also to victims of sexual abuse by other Catholic priests, saying today's sentence is not vindication of their trauma, that this sentence doesn't apply to the Catholic Church as a whole. How has that been received? Because he was very specific about the fact that he cannot be a scapegoat.
Yeah, absolutely, and nor should he be a scapegoat. I think that the judge probably made those comments because there has been commentary in some quarters, you know, that this is somehow a witch hunt or a show trial, and that George Pell was only there because he was being pursued by the hounds from the press and those who want a scapegoat for this crisis that has absolutely enveloped the Catholic Church over the past five or so years. But he wasn't there for that reason. He was there because, as the court has found, he destroyed the lives of two teenage boys by committing an awful crime. And I think, you know, one of the moments in that court where everyone was just sort of staring at the floor in horror was when Chief Judge Kidd was talking about the boys whimpering and asking him to stop. And that sort of detail hasn't really come out before. I don't want to speak for the victim. He would not like that. He's a very, very private man. But I know him and I know the family of the dead boy, and oh, the sadness of it. It's just really hard to take. And I hope that some of the toxic commentary that we've had over the past couple of weeks since the jury's decision was made public might just be tempered somewhat now that the judge has put all of this on the record. And I will say that I think that the judge's decision to make the sentence public, to broadcast it live, was a really excellent decision for open justice in Victoria, where there has been a lot of criticism about, you know, suppression orders and about the way that the court system is run here. And that's beside anything to do with the Pell trial. So I think that that was a very, very good decision. And it allowed his words to cut through you know, the fake news.
Let's talk about the surviving victim, because he's released a statement through his lawyer, Dr. Viv Waller, who actually we'll speak to in a moment as well. That statement is quite sad as well. In fact, you've been tweeting about just how sad that is. Walk me through what he said and how the appeal process is really, you know, an ongoing headache, I suppose, for him. This is not the end.
Of course, it's not the end for him. It's been a very, very difficult sort of matter for him. The words that sort of came home to me in the statement were, I appreciate that the court has acknowledged what was inflicted upon me as a child. However, there is no rest for me. You know, never a truer sentence was said, because this man has gone through 4 years since he first made his statement to police. He has been vigorously cross-examined by a fearsome barrister who described this crime as plain vanilla sexual penetration, although he later apologised for that, but it gives you an insight. And friends of George Pell and associates of George Pell have kind of said, well, you know, this is not the man that I know. And I would say of this person, anyone who met him, I would defy them to not believe what he's saying. He chose to do this. He put himself up for this horrendous ordeal, whereas George Pell didn't have any choice. I think this case for me has really caused me to reflect upon the way in which the criminal justice system treats complainants about and victims of child sexual abuse. I think it's unnecessarily harsh, and the Royal Commission has made comments about those things and findings. And I got the sense through my experience in this that things hadn't really changed very much, and I hope that they will in the future.
You said there's been a lot of fake news around this case. What do you mean by that?
Oh, things like the fact that the hung jury in the first case, people just saying that it was 10-2 in favour of George Pell. No one knows what those jurors found. And in fact, you know, some of the court reporters have said that there were four jurors who were crying, and the sense was that those four jurors who were crying were actually wanting a conviction. You know, so it's just really damaging. And this stuff just gets tweeted and retweeted uphill and down dale, and then suddenly becomes a received wisdom. And also there's the nitpicking over parts of the evidence. For example, you know, the communion wine was white, and the boy said that it was red. He was 13 years old and the bottle wasn't clear. I mean, it was probably the first time he'd had one. You know, think back to the most awful thing that ever happened to you, you know, when you were 13. You know, let's hope that, you know, none of us have had to go through something as traumatic as these boys. But trying to remember, you know, did he use his right, left or his left, his right hand or his left hand? You know, was the wine red or white? What you remember is profound trauma. What you remember is the crime, not the finicky details. And the other thing I would say is that there have been decades now of these cases of clergy abuse in the criminal justice system. And in every one of these cases, because we have a standard of beyond reasonable doubt, the grab bag of doubts are pulled out from the bottom drawer. These doubts are no different to any other doubts. You know, one of the other things is they've said is, oh, it happened in the sacristy after Sunday solemn mass. Impossible, they say. Impossible. You know, kids have been abused on altars, in confessionals, on school excursions, in classrooms, pulled from the playground. Kids have been abused in audacious circumstances over and over again by Catholic clergy. And when they came forward, they were subjected to obfuscation and denial and cover-up. And now we see that same obfuscation and denial and cover-up coming from sectors of the Catholic Church. And I just wonder how these people can describe themselves as Christians. It is nothing like the version of Catholicism that I was brought up with, which was, you know, this is a faith-based institution and it is about spreading Jesus's message of love.
Louise Milligan, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Louise Milligan is a Four Corners reporter and the author of The Cardinal, The Rise and Fall of George Pell. And if you found some of these themes difficult, you can contact Beyond Blue anytime, 1300 224 636, or if you want to call Lifeline, it's 131114. This is RN Drive.